السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وبه نستعين على أمور الدنيا والدين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We are continuing the tafsir of Surah Al-Baqarah, and we are still in the ayat related to talaq. One of the benefits that you see in reading Surah Al-Baqarah is the importance Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put into the family law and the ahkam related to the usrah and marriage and talaq, and how much importance Allah Almighty has put into this. So it's not a matter that is to be taken lightly. Issues related to divorce, issues related to marriage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasized on these rules to protect both husband and wife, to preserve the family, and to ensure that if there is separation, it is done in the best and most amicable way possible. Last time, we spoke about the woman who loses her husband and he dies, and what are some of the rulings related to that. And we've covered that her iddah period is different than the iddah period of the woman who is divorced. So the divorcee, we will look at her situation. If she was pregnant, how long is her iddah? Until she gives birth. If she wasn't pregnant, how long is her iddah? 3 menstrual cycles. If she is not menstruating due to old age or anything similar to that, then how long does she have her iddah? 3 months. Very good. In Surah 2, Talaq, Allah mentions, وَلَّا يَئِسَ مِنَ الْمَحِيضِ. Those that have lost hope in hayd or in menses, then that their iddah period, their waiting period is 3 months. What about the person then who whose husband passes away? That is how long? 4 months and 10 days. Barakallahu feekum. So that's a rule that is different than the rest. Tayyib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then spoke about the rulings related to ihdad. Does anyone remember what ihdad is? So if a woman is in the mourning period, what does she not do? She doesn't adorn herself, and she is in the mourning period, and how long does that last? The 4 months end? 10 days. Yes, very good. Anyone that is not a spouse, how long can you mourn for them? 3 days. 3 days. And then life continues. Tayyib. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we are reading the ayats related to if one is interested in marrying a woman that has been divorced, how do you go about it? So a woman was divorced. Can you propose to her or can you not propose to her? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ. And there is no sin on you. There is no sin on you. فِيمَا عَرَّضْتُمْ بِهِ مِنْ خِطْبَةِ النِّسَاءِ. If you make a hint of betrothal or proposal, or conceal it in your hearts, أَوْ أَكْنَنْتُمْ فِي أَنْفُسِكُمْ. So, what are you learning here? Let's say a woman, her husband died, and she is in the waiting period, or her husband divorced her, and she is in the waiting period. Let's start with the one that has been divorced. There's two cases. Either she is, the dalaq is dalaq raj'i, or the dalaq is dalaq ba'in. What does dalaq raj'i mean? A revocable divorce. Meaning her husband divorced her once, and he can potentially take her back. This type of woman, you can never propose to her. She's still tied to her husband. Anytime he can say, you're my wife, and they're together. She still lives with him. So a woman whose husband divorced her and they're in this period, you don't go near her, you don't think of her, you don't propose to her. She's still tied to this, because he can still make a decision tomorrow, I take you back and you're my wife again. So you completely avoid the situation. Is that wadih? Now, she's dalaq ba'in. What's dalaq ba'in? A irrevocable divorce. He divorced her once, took her back. After a while, he divorced her again, then took her back. By the third time when he divorces her, can he take her back? No. That's an irrevocable divorce. When that happens, she enters into a waiting period. And depending on the situation, whether she was pregnant or not, it could be until she gives birth, it could be 3 months, it could be 3 menstrual cycles. In any case, during this time, what are you allowed to do? Let's say you're interested in her. time where she is waiting, can you tell her, inshallah, when your iddah is over, I'm going to marry you? Can you tell her that? No, you cannot. So, let's say a woman, and okay, what about if he dies? Same thing. So a woman dies for four months and 10 days, you're not allowed to directly approach her or propose to her. But afterwards you can. Why? Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us to not do this? The reason is that it is very possible that once you express interest, that she lies about her menstrual cycle, she shortens the time. These are all possibilities. And because you express interest, and instead of waiting all that time, she may just hurry or shorten the time that she's meant to wait. Because you have no idea. And because of this, to avoid this problem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not approach them and directly propose to them until after the morning. So what are you allowed to do? What are you allowed to do? يقول الله عز وجل ولا جناح عليكم فيما عرضتم به من خطبة النساء أو أكننتم في أنفسكم علم الله أنكم ستذكروهن ولكن لا تواعدوهن سرا إلا أن تقولوا قولا معروفا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, and there is no sin on you if you make a hint. So what you're allowed to do? You can make a hint that you're interested. It is mentioned that Abdullah ibn Abbas said that you should mention something like, I am looking for marriage. Or, but not particularly her. Or, I wish there was someone that I could... You can hint around the topic, that's allowed. But what is not allowed? A direct proposal. Does that make sense? طيب. Because there's two types of proposals. التصريح أو التعريض. التصريح is direct. تعريض or كناية is indirect. And you're not allowed to be direct when a woman is on her and on the divorcing waiting period, but you are allowed to be indirect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you can make a hint or you can conceal it in yourself, meaning you're allowed to think about it, you're allowed to plan it. You could be thinking, okay, I think I'm going to go for that sister. I think I'm going to marry that woman. I know she's got the divorce recently. And honestly, it's quite interesting that someone can be thinking of marrying a woman that is been recently married. But this is halal, right? It also shows you the importance of marriage. Think about this. We often, the mentality might be, she just went through a divorce. Maybe she's not looking for a man right now. Spend some year, 2 year, 3 years, travel, go back to your studies, this and that. Isn't that like a lot of time what you hear? But from the messaging of the Quran, Allah is telling us, if a woman just has been divorced or her husband just died and she's in this waiting period, don't directly ask her, but you're allowed to hint. And the moment that the time is over, you can what? Directly propose. Meaning, the amount of time someone's supposed to be single shouldn't be long. The amount of time that someone is supposed to be single isn't very long. So it's not from the sunnah that a woman, even if she's divorced, right, that she just stays unmarried. It's not from the sunnah for a brother to say, you know what, I'm taking a break from marriage right now, you know, I'm going to take 5 years, 6 years to myself. This is not necessarily the right way. Is it allowed? This is allowed. In fact, someone once asked me, Sheikh, is it wajib for me to get married? I said, no, it's not wajib for you to get married. And the reason he asked is, and this actually happened to me twice. Once it was a sister, and once it was a brother. I'm like, maybe they should meet. Because a sister once asked me, Sheikh, is it wajib for me to get married? No, it's not wajib. It's not like the salah. It's not like, you know, your zakah. It's not like hajj. It's not from the five pillars. You don't have to get married. But it is highly, 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 highly encouraged. Right? And it is almost an odd thing. But for some, maybe they won't get married. And that's okay. But we, of course, highly encourage it. And here you learn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, don't directly propose to the woman that is on her iddah. But you're allowed to conceal it in yourself. You can plan it. And you can also hint. Another lesson you learn from this is that this idea that a divorced woman is not good, khalas, it's done. No. From here, you clearly see that they are prospects and you can marry them. And there's nothing wrong with that. Rasulullah married women that have been divorced or married women that her husband passed away. So this idea, this cultural thing that we have where if a woman is divorced and khalas, she shouldn't get married. Or it's an odd thing if a brother proposes to a woman that has been divorced recently. Or it's an odd thing for you to go for a woman who lost her husband who's been previously married before. This is not necessarily the case. It depends on the circumstances. And if the person ticks your boxes and you think they're good for you and they're going to raise children with you and have a good family with you, then there's nothing wrong with that. Does that make sense? Of course, you have the ideal, but we need to get rid of the stigma that around marrying someone that was previously married. There's nothing wrong with that. As you can see clearly how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it. طيب. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, عَلِمَ اللَّهُ Allah knows, أَنَّكُمْ سَتَذْكُرُوهُنَّ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُوَعِدُوهُنَّ سِرًّا That you will remember them, but do not make a promise of contract with them in secret. So do not secretly propose to her. Allah then said, إِلَّا أَن تَقُولُوا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا Except if you say good and honorable speech, which is what? That you hinted, that you don't directly speak to them. وَلَا تَعْزِمُوا عُقْدَةَ النِّكَاحِ حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ الْكِتَابُ أَجَلَهُ And do not consummate the marriage until the term prescribed has been fulfilled. So you, it is, what is the hukum of marrying a woman that is in her iddah? What is the hukum? That nikah is fasid. You cannot marry a woman that is still in the waiting period. Does that make sense? طيب. وَعَلَمُوا And know. أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ That Allah knows what's in your hearts and minds. فَحْذَرُوهُ So fear him. وَعَلَمُوا And know. أَنَّ اللَّهَ Indeed Allah is غَفُورٌ The oft forgiving. حَلِيمٌ The most forbearing. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِن طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ There is no sin on you if you divorce your woman folk. Here we learn the ruling of divorce. What is the ruling of divorce in Islam? The ruling of divorce, what's it? Is it haram to divorce a woman? Is it mustahab? Is it wajib? Is it, what is the hukum of divorce? And the ulama say the hukum of divorce depends on the circumstances. Sometimes it is haram for you to divorce your wife. For example, it's haram for you to divorce her when she's on her menstrual cycle. You can't issue a divorce. The hukum of that divorce would be hada la yajuz. It's haram. You can't divorce a woman just to harm her. Right? Because harming and dharar is not allowed. Sometimes it is dislike to divorce a woman. Disliked. If she's a good, pious woman that has some shortcomings, it's makruh to divorce her. It's not. It's disliked. Sometimes it's allowed. If there are irreconcilable differences and you guys are not a good match, then it is allowed for you to divorce her. Sometimes it's mustahab to divorce her. If she's a detriment to your children or to yourself, or there's, then it's, sometimes it's mustahab. Right? So it fits all the five rulings of Islam. But one thing is for sure, and this is where Islam is more superior than other faiths. For example, in certain faiths, divorce is not an option. Until death do us apart. That's not an Islamic concept, right? Right? Through sickness and whatever else that they recite. And then they say, until death do us apart. Like, no, you're not bound forever like this. You should aim to. You should aim to, inshallah ta'ala, be husband and wife in Jannah. That's your aim. That's your goal. That's your hope. But if you're in a marriage that is toxic, that is difficult, that is stressful, that is harming you, harming the husband, harming the wife, harming the children, then we're not going to say stay together because of, we're not going to say this. And too often we see that sometimes culture will overpower the person. And we have seen cases where a woman is saying, I am stuck in a horrible marriage. And the man is saying, yes, it is definitely horrible and I feel it too. And you're wondering, okay, if you guys cannot make it work, what does Allah say? إِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَسْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ Hold her, be with her in goodness. أَوْ تَسْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ Or let her go and in goodness and righteousness. Let her go. So what you can't do is إِمْسَاكُمْ بِشَرٍ You know, hold it, but it's all... That's what she cannot do. And alhamdulillah, Islam is a practical religion. So, is divorce encouraged? Absolutely not. It is heavily discouraged. Is it an option for those that need it? Yes, it's an option. What does Allah Almighty say? وَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ or لَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِن طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ There's no sin on you if you divorce a woman. Here particularly, it is talking about a particular type of divorce. And what is that? لَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ مَا لَمْ تَمَسُّوهُنَّ أو تفرضوا لهن فريضة. So, there's no sin on you if you divorce a woman while yet not having touched her, meaning having relations with her, nor appointed a mihr to her. Right? So, a few things that must be clarified. What is the ruling of giving your spouse a mihr? It's wajib. The mihr is her haq. Right? In every single marriage, the the bridal money, the mihr, the dowry must be promised to her. Right now, this is something that needs to be very well understood. The moment they become a couple, she earns the right for a dowry. Now, sometimes the dowry is not named or not even agreed upon. Would that marriage be correct? So, if I describe how a nikah should be done, for a nikah to be valid, you need a person being married and a person marrying, right? The bride-to-be and the groom, right? You need those two, of course. Then you also need the wali, which is the guardian, the male guardian of the bride. Who can that be? The father. If the father's not present, it could be the grandfather or the uncle or the brother. There are several people here, right? There must be a wali. How many people do you have so far? We have the bride, the groom, and the wali. Then you also need two witnesses. لا نكاح إلا بوليين وشهيدان. You need two witnesses, right? So now how many people do you have? Five. Then after this, you also need the Allah المستعان, an offer and an acceptance. Because at the end of the day, it's a deal being made. An offer. I offer you my daughter in marriage. Do you accept? And that's the offer. And then the person says, قبيل تو, I accept. So there needs to be that, right? Now, there also, this is the sigha, that needs to be present as well. Then there is the dowry. The dowry, if it's not mentioned or named, is, by the way, that's how simple of a marriage is. Everything else is sunnah. You know, reading the khutbatul haja, in alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu, having an imam there, it's not required. A lot of people think that having an imam, maybe I'm giving secrets away here, because do you need an imam for a nikah? Not necessarily. So let's say may Allah bless my daughter, Rayyan. Let's say how many of you thought Rayyan was a boy when you hear Rayyan? Is that a boy name or a girl name? Is Rayyan a girl name or a boy name? Huh? You already had the conversation? Before, what did you think? It's one of those names that's confusing, isn't it? It could be both. Anyway, let's say I wanted to give her away. Or let's say, Hamza, you had a daughter. What would you name your daughter? Layla, mashallah, mashallah, nice name. So let's say someone approached and they want to marry Layla, right? And what needs to be present, right? Number one, we have Layla and we have the brother that approached her. Let's call him Abdurrahman. Abdurrahman came for Layla, right? Tayyib. Abdurrahman says to you, Sheikh Hamza, Dr. Hamza, I'm interested in your daughter Layla. Can I marry her? And you make a long interview afterwards. You're like, okay, he passed everything. Tayyib. What needs to be present? You're the wali. She's there, he's there. You need how many witnesses? Two witnesses. Let's say your brother and his father are there. Yallah, what's left? Honestly, it's this simple. It's this simple. What did you say, Akhi? Yes. Then Hamza says, I offer you my daughter to marry according to the Book of Allah and Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Do you accept? He says, yes, I accept. بارك الله لكما وبارك عليكما وجمع بينكما في خير. The nikah is done. That's it. There are other things that are recommended to do. Walima. You invite people, you let them know the marriage happened. The dowry is her haqq. But what's the dowry mentioned right now? This ayah is talking about a woman who's called a mufawwada. Nikah al-mufawwada, which is a woman that got married who has not been given a dowry. So this could be a problem. Is the nikah valid? Yes. But then they have to agree a dowry. And what is that dowry going to be? Ideally, the dowry should be agreed upon. But if they argue amongst each other, 5,000, 2,000, 3,000, 1,000, 500, whatever the case is, then if they argue over it, then they bring it to an imam or a judge, and they look at what is a woman like Layla, who is the daughter of a doctor, what kind of mihr does she get, right? And roughly, let's say, this kind of girl, she gets 5,000. Then we're going to say, yalla, her mihr is 5,000. Does that make sense? But let's say, and this is what this ayah is talking about, Abdurrahman decided to divorce Layla. I'm very sorry, Hamza. He decided to divorce Layla before they consummated. Before they consummated. What is her right going to be? يقول الله عز وجل. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is the analogy, everyone understands it? لا جناح عليكم. There is no sin on you. إن طلقتم النساء. If you divorce women. مَا لَمْ تَمَسُوهُنَّ while you have not touched them, meaning consummated. أو تفرضوا لهن فريضة nor appointed to them a mahar. Now what happens then? What happens? What does she get? He divorced her. There was no mahar agreed, and they never met each other. So it could. So what happens there? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that because there was no agreement of a mahar, she gets what is called a mut'ah. What is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَتِّعُوهُنَّ عَلَى الْمُوسِعِ قَدَرُهُ وَعَلَى الْمُقْتِرِ قَدَرُهُ مَتَاعًا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, but bestow on them a suitable gift. So he will gift her something suitable. It doesn't have to be like a dowry level. But because he inconvenienced them, because he may have broken her heart, because he was indecisive, what he has to give her something, but it's not going to be a mahar because a mahar was never agreed. Mafhum? Allah says, bestow on them a suitable gift. عَلَى الْمُوسِعِ قَدَرُهُ, the rich one according to his means. وَعَلَى الْمُقْتِرِ قَدَرُهُ, and the poor one according to his means. So we're not going to make the rich man pay the same as the poor man. Right? So what is the mut'ah that we're talking about here? What is this gift? A woman who's been married, there was no bridal money or no dowry named or agreed, and he divorced her without consummating. What is her right? Does she get a full dowry? No. Does she get nothing? No. What does she get? A suitable gift. And how much is that? That depends on who? The person. If he's rich, then according to his means. If he's poor, then according to his means. Is that wadi, everyone? طيب. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, حَقًّا عَلَى الْمُحْسِنِينَ, this is a duty on those that do good. And ulama say it's wajib that he gives her something. Right? It's wajib that he gives her something. طيب. Then what about if they did agree, a dowry? If during the mihr, Hamza said, I give you Layla, O Abdurrahman, I give you my daughter, Layla, and to marry her with the agreed upon dowry, that is, how much shall we say? 5,000. Jalla, 5,000. طيب, now what? The bridal money is agreed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن طَلَّقْتُمُوهُنَّ, and if you divorce them, مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن تَمَسُّوهُنَّ, before you have had relations with them. So this one, also no relation. What's different though? The mihr was, إِذَا فَرَضْنَا نَعَمْ وَقَدْ فَرَضْتُمْ لَهُنَّ فَرِيضَةً, and you have appointed unto them a mihr, a dowry. طيب, how much do you give? فَنِصْفُ مَا فَرَضْتُمْ, half of what you have agreed. How much is that going to be? 2,500 in this case. 2,500. طيب. This is how much her right is. Because he divorced her without having consummated the marriage. Does she have a iddah? Does she have a iddah? A woman that has been divorced. A woman that has been divorced before consummation. Does she have a iddah? She doesn't have a iddah. She doesn't have a iddah. No, it isn't. فَمَا لَهُمْ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ عِدَّةٍ تَعْتَدُّنَّهَا. Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah talks about it. طيب, سؤال, what if the husband dies? Does she have a عِدَّة? She does. How long? 4 months and 10 days. Because the ayah was عام, was مطلق. وَالَّذِينَ يَتَوَفَّوْنَ مِنْكُمْ وَيَذَرُونَ أَزْوَاجًا يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ أَرْبَعَةَ أَشْهُرٍ وَعَشْرًا. The ayah that talks about a woman, al-mutawaffa anha, the one whose husband dies, even if they never consummated it, it's amrun ta'abudi. She has to go through that mourning period. Right? Does that make sense? But if he divorced her, then there is no iddah. Is that clear? طيب. So he divorced her, but he never consummated. The mihr was agreed, however. How much does he get? فَنِصْفُ مَا فَرَضْتُمْ, half of what they agreed, half of what they appointed. طيب. إِلَّا أَنْ يَعْفُونَ, unless the woman agrees to forego and forgive, unless she lets go. Allah says, give her half, except if she, what? Says, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I want nothing. Right? That's an option. أَوْ يَعْفُوا وَالَّذِي بِيَدِهِ عُقْدَةُ النِّكَاحِ, or if the one whose hands the marriage was in, meaning the husband, lets go. How does he let go? He has to pay the money. How does he let go? Anyone? He gives the full amount. So there's three options here. Option one, you follow the ayah, she gets half, 2,500. Correct? Option two, she rises above it and says, you know what? Barakallahu feek, I want nothing from you. Go, leave it. She gets nothing. She forgave. Right? Option three, he says, no, I divorced you this quickly. I apologize. You know what? Instead of giving you half, I'll give you the full amount. That's him doing afu. So how many options do we have? Three options. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَأَن تَعْفُوا أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. And for you to forego is closer to piety. Who's Allah talking to here? Both the man and the woman. So what's better for the woman? Yeah, I don't want anything from you. What's better for the man? Give her the full amount. وَأَن تَعْفُوا أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. Because in Islam, you're always encouraged to do that which is better. There are three types of people when it comes to mu'amalat. What are mu'amalat? Transactions. Any type of transaction. Buying a house, renting a house, buying items, making a business. Any type of transaction is happening. There's three types of people. The person that will oppress others, right? When he has to give something, he'll skim off the top, or he'll try and do something and be fraudulent and never gives other people their haqq. And when he wants something, he never forgives it. I want full. Right? That's one type of person. We don't want that type of person, right? When it's you, you want to hold back the huquq of others. But when it's time for you, you're like, Allah, I'm not going to forgive you. Ya akhi, let me pay you back 80%. Wallahi, 100%. You know, that kind of person. Then you have the kind of person, just. When he has to pay something, he will pay it in full. When you have to pay him, he asks for full. That's justice. Then you have ihsan, right? That which we should strive for. And that is, when you have to give something, you go on top even. You give that and ziyada, right? Isn't that riba? Isn't that riba? If Brother Muhsin gives me 500 pounds because I need it. And I say, Jazakallah khair for borrowing this money. After 2 months, I went, Akhi, here is 500 pounds. You know what? Here is 600 pounds. Is that riba? Why is that not riba? Ma fi shart, hayyak Allah. He never asked for it, right? Me doing this is khair. It's like, it's me doing ihsan. Does that make sense? Tayyib. If he says, just give me 300. How about that? This is also ihsan. He gave me, and then the 200 pound will be sadaqah for him. By the way, this is a sunnah that is forgotten. Wallahi, brothers, there is great, great reward in taking it easy on the people that owe you money. There is great reward in it. If you borrow someone money, if you can forgive it, forgive it. If you can tell them, ya akhi, take your time, wallahi, you can have, and you don't need it, there is khair kathir in this. There is a hadith with a man, the Prophet went, a man went to Jannah. He went to Jannah, although he was one of the most extreme sinners. But the hadith mentions, لم يعمل خيرا قط. He never done anything good. إلا أنه كان يداين الناس. Except that he would give people money. He would borrow people money. And as he would borrow the money, he would take it easy on them. He would say to his ghulam, his servant, if they can pay it, alhamdulillah. If they can't pay it, if they can pay it, if they can't pay it, then leave them. Perhaps Allah will forgive me and leave me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. Allah forgave him. So there's a great reward in this. Tayyib. How do we end up here? The whole concept of doing ihsan. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, there is the option is there. Option one, you take your full right. What is her full right? Half of the dowry. But Allah then says, أَوْ يَعَفُونَ, or you let it go. And the other way as well. If the man, he forgoes by, instead of taking the option of giving half, what does he do? He gives her the full amount. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَنَسَوُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not forget the good that was between you. The good and the virtue, don't forget. Divorce can be messy. Divorce can be messy, and Allah is saying, don't forget the goodness that was in bainakum. Inna Allaha bima ta'amaluna basir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-seer of what you do. Allah is seeing what you're doing. Allah, and I say this all the time, and this is very important. Whenever you hear that Allah is basir, Allah is sami', Allah is alim, Allah knows everything that you're up to, Allah knows that which is in your heart. يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى. He knows your secret and that which is even beyond. Allah sees everything. Allah hears everything. When you hear this, it should put fear in you. It should put fear in you because Allah sees you sinning. Allah sees you lying. Allah sees you doing things that you're not supposed to, thinking about things that you're not supposed to, right? This should put fear in your heart. But it should also put hope in your heart. Allah sees you and Allah hears your dua. Allah sees your worship. Allah sees your sadaqah. Allah sees the kindness that you do towards your children. So Allah sees that you're forgiving each other, that you're taking it easy in your marriage, that your divorce was a divorce that was done properly. So when we hear the word basir, it should instill in us, yes, fear, but also what? Hope. Hope. طيب. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كم بقي? From the adhan? Oh yeah, mashallah. Alhamdulillah, we have time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said, حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى وقوموا لله قانتين. And guard strictly and preserve and observe all the prayers. As-salawat. Here, the salawat are the five daily prayers. وَالصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى and the middle prayer. The middle prayer. The middle salah. Which is the middle salah? Asr. Other ulama have other opinions, but the strongest view is Asr. Why? Because the Prophet called this salah Salat al-Wusta. During the battle of Khandaq or Ahzab, the Prophet ﷺ said, مَلَأَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ وَقُبُورَهُمْ نَارًا شَغَلُونَ عَنِ الصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى. Cursed may be the kuffar that are attacking them, and may Allah fill their graves with fire. They made us too busy to remember the middle prayer, the Salat al-Wusta, Salat al-Asr. And this is one of the evidences to teach you that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgot to pray. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgot to pray Asr because he was busy digging in the trenches. So he forgot to pray Asr. And he prayed Maghrib, then he made Asr up, then he prayed Isha. So you learn a lot of lessons from that. Number one is that it is possible for someone to forget. And there are reasons. What are the reasons that you're allowed to be not praying? Imma or delay a prayer from its time. Imma lil jam'i. You can delay a prayer if you're combining it with another prayer. Such as when you are what? Traveling. So, what excuses to delay a prayer? Number one, combining. Number two, if you're sleeping. If you're sleeping, you can delay the prayer, but that means you overslept. If you, there's no sin on you if you overslept. There's no sin on you if you overslept. As long as you you go to sleep, and then when you wake up, the salah has passed. مَن نَامَ عَنِ الصَّلَاةِ أَوْ نَسِيهَا فَلْيُصَلِّيهَا إِذَا ذَكَرَهَا. Let him pray when he remembers it. Forgetfulness. If you forget, like what happened to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So you can delay the prayer if you are combining. You can delay the prayer if you were sleeping. You can delay the prayer if you are forgetful. And you can delay the prayer if you're forced. Someone holds a gun to your head or forces you, or you know, you're stopped from praying and then the salah. Anything outside of that, you have to pray on time. Does that make sense? What if you don't have wudu? If you don't have wudu and the salah time is coming, then you do tayammum. You cannot just let the next salah enter without praying, and may Allah forgive us and protect us. طيب حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى وقوموا لله قانتين. And stand before Allah with obedience and without speaking. القنوت في الصلاة, or being قانت in your salah, means that you do not speak. In the beginning, you are allowed to speak in your salah. There's a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba mentioned that before it was legislated to be quiet in the salah, they would enter the salah and they would still speak to each other. So it would be Allahu Akbar, and if someone would stand next to them, they would be like, how are the kids? They would speak to each other. This is something very strange to us. But then when it was legislated, this ayah was revealed, it became obligatory to stay silent during the salah. Tayyib. Speaking of, I think there's a lot of ahkam that needs to be discussed here. So I'm going to stop here so that next week, inshallah ta'ala, we can delve into more issues related to the salah, and also to what is known as Salatul Khawf, which is the prayer of fear, and how do you pray that. And there are some few more ahkams left of Dalaq before we then enter into the story of Talut and Jalut, or David and Goliath. Barakallahu feekum. Hada wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.